The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I wanted to share with you this morning, what I heard in my spirit. Basically, that's how I minister. I hear it and then begin to minister along those lines. How many know that we are running a race? That race starts as you're born into the world, and it completes when you breathe out your last breath. Some races are longer than others. And life is actually very short when you think about it. And I won't get into analogies, but it's very short. I heard this in my spirit, these words, for the joy that was set before him. Obviously, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Is he calling for me? I got a grandbaby calling pom-poms on the front row here. What a distraction. Lord have mercy. I heard my name being called. Bring him here quickly. Let me just give him a kiss. Oh, come on. Bring him here. Were you calling for pop-ups? Were you calling for me? Look at that. What a distraction. And you, let me give her a kiss quickly. Bring her here. Look at this one. Pinkley. You interrupted my message. You know, when Kenneth was a little boy, Adonica would bring him, sit on the front, and he would start to preach. He would preach with me. When I shout hallelujah, he would hallelujah, and he'd go, amen, amen. And it got so noisy that I had to, many times I said, Adonica, please, you've got to get him out of here. And it's awesome. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. We apologize for this interruption. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and has run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now watch this. Who for the joy that was set before him, say this after me, who for the joy that was set before him, it says, endured the cross, despising shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus came for the purpose of redeeming you and I and transforming our life, but what he had to go through in order to get us to that place was beyond anything we could even comprehend or even understand. Because the Bible says that he humbled himself. He came to the earth. He took on human flesh, just that alone. Think about that. Why would you even want to do that? That's like putting on some kind of an old boot. Huh? When you got new shoes, why would you put on an old boot? John 1 and verse 14, the first part, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 and 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings are infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And then he went to the cross, and he had to drink this bitter cup for you and for me. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. What a servant's heart to come and become as we are so that we could become as he is. And then he paid the price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why do you think that he prayed the prayer that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Because he was going to drink the bitter cup for you and for me. That the word of God declares, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus was not confused in any way. For the first time in eternity, he was going to be cut off from his Father, which you know that when 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when the sky grew dark, really the sun shut off, and he was hanging on the cross, and he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, he became a curse for us. He took upon himself the sin of the whole world. Can you imagine that? That's why he sweat great drops of blood in the garden in agony for you and me, because he was going to have to drink this cup for us. There was no other way out. But the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Matthew 26:39, he went on a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Matthew 26:42, he went away again a second time and prayed, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And at that moment, he saw you. He saw you. And he saw me. And I know these are words that everyone can say when he was on the cross, I was on his mind and all that kind of stuff. But people don't actually identify with that. We have to identify with the fact that when he hung on the cross, it was as though we hung there with him. When he suffered, we suffered with him. When he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we buried with him. When he was raised, we were raised with him. Our identity today does not come in where we've come from, but where he's brought us into. We've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he, knowing all of these things, for the joy that was set before him, he endured everything. And did it gladly, like a sheep before its shearer is dumb. He didn't even open his mouth. Was not even worried about his reputation. Was not even worried about what anybody else would say about him. Even as they mocked him and scoffed him. And you can imagine the jeering that took place. If you be the Son of God, you know. And we know that he could have called 10,000 angels at any moment and been delivered, but yet he chose not to. Pretty remarkable. Everyone rejoices over what Jesus did, but they don't know what he went through to get what he got for us. That's why people in Christianity always feel like there has to be something else I need to do. Where you look at every other religion in the world, you have to do so much. You have to pray so many times a day. You have to bow down so many times. You have to face a certain direction. You have to do all these rituals and all these plans, because that's how religion works. Religion is basically, what do I have to do to get myself to a place where God actually loves me and where I can actually become acceptable in God? And that's what the difference between every other religion and Christianity is that you don't actually have to do anything, because he actually did it all. All you have to do is humble yourself to receive it, and then you believe it, and then it's yours. Somebody said, well, what did you do to earn it? Absolutely nothing. Well, did we even deserve it? No, we actually deserve death. We actually deserve death. There's nothing that I have in salvation that I deserved. I deserved the worst punishment. I'll never forget, they were premiering the Passion of the Christ. How many got to see the Passion of the Christ movie? And it was in Atlanta, and we were there. Of course, I hadn't seen the movie. And I'm watching this before it was even released. And I jumped up screaming in the movie. I thought they were going to arrest me and throw me out. There were some ministers there, but there were a bunch of heathen as well. You know. And everybody at that moment was making a big thing about the movie being, you know, anti-Semitic and whatever, and then was blaming the Jews for the death of Jesus, whatever. Well, I mean, if they did think that, it was about to change in that theater that day, because I jumped up and I was weeping. I was just crying my eyes out. I was standing there. People thought I was probably lost my mind. But I shouted the top of my lungs. I mean, yes, Jesus on the cross, you know, and I go, it was me. I did it. I put him there. It was my sin that he carried. It was my shame that he bore. I am the reason why he hung there. If you want to blame anybody, you blame me. Because at that moment, I identified that he did that for me. Of course, at the end of the movie, I told the guys, get ready. I'm going to give an altar call, you know. So I ran down front and the credits are going. I said, now you've just seen he died for you. If you'd like to accept him as your Lord and Savior right now, just cry out, say, Jesus, come into my heart. And I'm doing this in the theater with the security's coming for me. And I had our guys block it. And this exit sign was right. The doors were right on the side. And I was getting ready. And so they were blocking the security. And I led the prayer. And I was praying the prayer. Everybody was accepting Jesus. And then I slipped out of the side doors into the dark alley and just walked out into the street. Amen. Hey, I'm not going to miss out on that opportunity. Are you with me? Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes you've got to keep a car running or know where the exit sign is. So you have to identify, and I believe there's a lot of people, even in the church world, even ministers, that have never actually identified that he hung there for me. He suffered for me. He died for me. He bled for me. He was bruised for me. He was torn for me. And he carried my sin. Forget about the sins of everybody else, which he did. But he carried my sin. It was my sin that put him on the cross. And it was for my sin that his blood was shed. And he did it for the joy that was set before him. Are you with me? You say, well, what joy that was set before him? The fact that today, from the day of the cross and the resurrection until now, hundreds of millions of people have been born again, have been saved. That heaven is actually a noisy place. Because the Bible says all heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. Imagine how many people are being saved around the world, because the sun's always somewhere. Somebody's preaching somewhere. Somebody's leading somewhere to Christ. Yes. So heaven, there's no silence in heaven. There will be when we get there, probably 30 minutes of silence. That's for all the preachers to change their theology. But when there's just the noise that is going on right now in heaven. All heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. So heaven knows what's happening on the earth. Heaven knows something is taking place. There's always movement there. There's no night, there's no day. Are you with me? So they're rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, and there's a sound of jubilation. There's a sound of rejoicing. This is why. Because another sinner has come home. Another child has come home. Somebody has been born again right now. Right this second, another person just been saved. Another person just gave their life to Jesus. Right now, another person just got saved. Right now, another person just gave their life to the Lord. People are being saved around the earth. Giving their life to Jesus is going on record. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now you say, why are you saying all this? Because many of you are going through situations or circumstances in your life, things that you're battling, things that you're struggling with, and you want to quit and you want to give up. But let me tell you, for the joy that is set before you, you can endure everything that the enemy has thrown against your life. You can overcome every attack of the enemy. You can overcome every plan of the wicked against your life. And you do not have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to quit. You can stand by the grace of God. And for the joy that is set before you, you can run the race and finish it. Even if you fall, even if you miss it, even if you make a mistake, when you run to the soap, when you run to the blood, when you run to the cross, when you run to Jesus, when you humble yourself, when you repent, when you say, Lord, help me, He comes and He washes you clean. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He's living there. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for you. So He's actually praying for you right now that you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Somebody said, I don't think I'm going to make it. Oh, yeah, you're going to make it. Jesus is praying for you right now. And He gets all His prayers answered. Yeah, He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for Richard and Rhonda and Sarah Sue. He's praying for everybody. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said, who's praying for you? I got Jesus praying for me. Amen. Jesus is praying for me. Somebody said, well, who's praying for you? Jesus is praying for me. Yes. He's praying for you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Now you say, well, what joy is set before me? Well, eternal life. Eternal life. A home in heaven. That song my dad used to sing. My home is in heaven, just waiting for me, just waiting for me. And when I get there, how happy I'll be. My home is in heaven, where the rent is free. For Jesus paid it on Calvary. My home is in heaven, just waiting for me, just waiting for me. And when I get there, how happy I'll be. My home is in heaven, where the rent is free. For Jesus paid it on Calvary. So if your home's in heaven, start acting like it. You know, some of you say, I don't really have a home here. Yeah, but even if you have a home, it'll be temporary. You fix the roof, it'll start leaking again. Hello? Come on, they got these 20-year roofs. Who builds a house with a 20-year roof? Are you kidding me? Everything here falls apart. Everything here decays. Even people fall apart. I've got a lot of friends, you know, they want to live to 120. About that. I've had the privilege over the last 40 years being around men and women of God that were 89, 90, 91, 95, 98, you know, dying, going to be with the Lord. And I said, what's the optimum age to leave? They said, when everything starts to leak. Hey, that's what they told me. I'm just repeating what they said. I mean, can you get a repair job? You know, look, this fine. You know, you can repair a bicycle tube only so many times. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, that went over like a lead balloon. But there comes a time when you need to go home to be with Jesus. Are you with me? So we got to run the race. But for the joy, everybody's living like it's, you know, there's no tomorrow, or they're living like everything's here on the earth. And they don't understand. This is just a precursor. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. That's why it doesn't matter if you've got 30 things on a bucket list. Say, well, I haven't even got to anything on my bucket list, and I'm about to kick the bucket. That's because you think you only live now. When you realize that when you're born again, you love Jesus, you are already living in eternity, that even though your physical body will die, you're going to get a glorified body. Plus, there's a thousand here, millennial reign of Christ. We're going to be living on the earth here with him for 1,000 years. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of things you're going to get to still do that you might not think you're going to do, but you'll do it living in a glorified body, which will be another whole dimension, which I won't get into today. Amen. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about some people don't have a beach body. Don't be fooled by the commercials you see on television. You can buy those exercise equipment. You are never going to have a beach body. I don't care what you do. You have a church body. Your body's for the kerk. They're the kerk. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have a beach body. They have a church body. Some people's body's a church bus body, you know. I was just teasing. Just teasing. It's a joke. I've got skinny people glaring at me right now. Relax. It's going to be okay. Have another Twinkie. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's a cack. I got a church body. It's not for the beach, not for the cack. Okay, for the joy, for the joy. For the joy that's set before you. Oh, Lord have mercy. For the joy. Let's just talk a little bit about heaven here for a moment. Heaven's not a place of depression. Heaven's not a place of sadness. Some people, they got this crazy idea, heaven, you just like in a kind of a, like a white robe down to your toes, and you're just kind of sitting on a fluffy cloud, and there's an angel flying around with a violin, you know, and everybody's just talking Elizabethan English. Hello, hello, brother. Hello, hello, sister. Verily, verily. Hitherto, hey, you know. When I get to heaven, I'm going to speak proper Elizabethan. Listen. Heaven's a real place. Heaven's more real than this natural realm. No matter where you go in the world, no matter if they take you to what the 7 wonders of the world are, there's no wonder that can even compare with what the wonder of what is to come. And this is why, for the joy that's set before you, I don't want anybody missing out on what God has for you because you become distracted with what's here on the earth and the limitations that are here on the earth and some of the struggles that you're going through, and you end up listening to lies of the enemy and giving up when God has already reserved for you. Jesus even said, in my Father's house and many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, then you may be also. That he's actually building you a mansion, not one of those little cabins or those tiny houses that you see on television. A mansion. Jesus, there's a place being prepared for you even now. Even now. Take your greatest day on the earth. And it won't even compare with 1 minute in heaven. Your greatest moment on this. And sometimes I've been with people, you know, I take people on events, and people will say to me, said, that's the greatest day I've ever had on earth, and which is just a normal day for me, because that's the way I choose to live my life, you know. And I'm like in a state of shock. What do you mean? You really, really? Yeah, it's the best day I've ever had. And I thought, wow, we really need to lift some things, you know. Are you with me? Come on. But so let me just say this to you. I mean, when you think about what is your greatest day, just take a moment and think about what you determined was my greatest day on the earth. You know, that was one of the great days of my life. Nothing that you experience here on the earth can even compare with one moment in the presence of the Lord in what is coming. Therefore, for the joy that is set before you, you can endure. That's why Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? Is Christ? Is it Christ that died? Yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even set at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. So he's praying for you. Basically, if he could talk to you one-on-one, he would mention your name and say, you're going to make it. You overcome everything you need. I've given it to you. I've given you my power, my authority, my blood, my word, my name, my Holy Spirit, everything you need, and you'll overcome. Whatever you're facing at this moment, you'll overcome. You're going to overcome all of those things, and you're going to come out of that storm. You're coming out of that pit. That's why I don't write people off and say they're finished, they're beyond redemption. God will reach down into the deepest parts of sin and rescue people and bring them out. Can you say amen? Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So for the joy, say this after me, for the joy that is set before me. That means you can endure the trial that you're going through right now. Because what the enemy does is tell you that you are in the worst position. Nobody else on the planet has ever gone through what you've gone through. And how many know that that's a stinking lie? If you ever buy that nonsense, then you'll say, well, there's nobody but me. I tell you, the enemy's just coming against my life. And he singled me out and picked me out. No, he hasn't singled you out and picked you out. He just hates anybody that calls himself a believer. Are you with me? Come on. If suddenly I could show you what was waiting for you on the other side, which I can't. I mean, I have to ask the Lord to show you. Are you with me? Which God can in the Holy Ghost. That's why we have revival meetings and the Holy Ghost meetings, where people get a revelation of what's actually waiting for them. But the moment your eyes are open to see what's waiting for you, then you'll realize all this stuff is nothing. This is just trivial stuff. This will pass. All of this will pass. Everything in the natural, all the stuff that people are looking for, striving for. The $150,000 banana. So he tells us to lay aside the weight. Think about what's holding you back. And the reason I'm focusing on this right here in December, because I think you just need to get rid of whatever's holding you back before the new year comes. You sure don't want to be running with that into the new year. Come on, 2020, God's got great things for you. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, I believe this is the easy read version, which I never have read it, but I read it now. We have all these great people around us as examples. Their lives tell us what faith means. So we too should run the race that is set before us and never quit. In other words, don't give up. Somebody said, I'm just going to give up. No. No, you're not going to give up. Absolutely not. You know, people ask me, said, have you ever thought of giving up? I said, look, I've had every crazy thought ever available to man. You don't want to know all the thoughts that I've had. So I'm not going to tell you some of the thoughts I've had because these thoughts come to everybody. Are you with me? I just didn't take them. I just didn't take the thought. Somebody said to me, you know, coming onto the 40th year of ministry, January the 1st, 40 years ago, starting the ministry, said, what's been the key? I said, every day, just get up and do what's right and follow the Lord and obey Him, whether you like it or don't, whether you feel like it or don't, just don't do anything stupid and don't listen to your crazy head. Your head will get really crazy on you and tell you all kinds of crazy stuff. Ignore your head. Don't listen to one thing it says and just follow your heart and everything will be okay. And don't do anything out of frustration and don't get impatient. Just keep moving in the direction that you're going. Just keep doing what the Lord says. Keep obeying His word and all of it will come to pass. And love your wife and love your children and your grandbabies and whatever. And love people and forgive people and don't hate anybody. Amen. You know, if you get angry, that's fine. Just don't sin. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with getting angry. I mean, temper is important. Hello. If you're not moved, a dog could come in and start biting your kids and you just stand there and you wouldn't even be fazed by the kids being ripped by the dog and you just wouldn't, you know, because you have no temper. Are you with me? So there's time to get angry with a dog biting your kid. Why is everybody looking at me like? How many know God gets angry? Are you with me? Yeah. He's not angry, but He gets angry. Just so you know, I just got to tell you, God's not sitting in heaven angry. He's not mad. Jesus is not depressed. Jesus is not on heavy sedation. Taking medication. Some ministers, they think their job is to go tell everybody in the world how much God hates them. I tell you, and He's going to kill all of you. He's going to kill every one of you. That's not God's plan. I said, that's not God's plan. God's not sitting in heaven working out ways He can kill you. Some people do a great job of just killing themselves. Hello. I remember when they passed the no helmet law in Florida for motorcycles. A lady was behind that law. It happened over, I believe, at Clearwater. And she was in the courts and fought the thing. And they cleared her. You don't need to wear a helmet. And she went out and jumped on a bike. 20 minutes later, she was dead. She crashed into a pole, you know. So you can have your law passed, no helmets, and then you get killed. Somebody said, I think the devil killed her. Well, you know, your head is like a watermelon, basically. Your head hit the pavement at 50 miles an hour. See what's going to happen. Hello. Even the banana will last longer than your head. So say this on me, because of the joy that's set before me, I can lay aside the weight. So what holds you back? What slows you down? Now you hear when I give an altar call, I always talk about the hidden things of the heart. Why do I do that? Not because I'm trying to find something. When I talk about the hidden things of the heart, it's not because I'm going to find something here today. No, it's because I know the human heart. And when you've been doing it as long as I've been doing it, then you understand. I mean, I started to study, what are the things that stop people? I asked the Lord, please help me so I can help people. What is the things that stop people? And God said to me, it starts with the hidden man of the heart. It starts with the hidden things that are hidden in people's hearts that nobody knows. In other words, there's things inside you right now that no one knows, that if there was a way that we could connect you to the giant screen, yeah, and all that information will come on the screen of what's in your heart, some of you go, no, no, Pastor, no, don't connect me. Don't connect me. But no one knows, and so you don't deal with it because nobody knows. Maybe your wife doesn't know, your husband doesn't know, your children don't know. No one knows. But these are the things that are hidden. Only revival can take care of those things. Yes. Only God's power can take care of those hidden things. And you have to humble yourself and come to the place where you say, okay, I want God to take care of those things. Or you say, I'm going to keep hanging on to these things. Those are the things that will continually hold you back. There are many ministers. I tell you, there are people with anointings right now that if they were ever released on the earth, it would be some of the most amazing things that would happen. But it's because of what I'm talking here right now. They will not deal with these things. And they go around the mountain and keep coming around the mountain. And what happens, they keep wanting to blame other people all the time because it's easy to blame other people for your condition. Well, it's their fault. They're the ones. No, no, no. There is no one that can stop you from accomplishing God's purpose and plan for your life when you humble yourself before God and you get honest and you get real before Him. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. So don't make any hasty or premature judgment before the time when the Lord comes again, for He will both bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness and disclose and expose the secret things. Aims, motives, and purpose of the heart, then every man will receive his due commendation from God. That's why the day is going to come when everyone will stand before the Lord. For the body of Christ, of course, there are two judgments. The one's called the judgment seat of Christ, which is not a judgment whereby people will be lost for eternity. This will just be where your life's work will be placed on the altar, the fire will come and consume it. It'll either be gold, jewels, or precious stones that will come out of that, or wood, hay, and stubble, and all your whole life's work will be burned up. You're still saved, you're going to heaven, but you have nothing to show for your life on the earth. That's okay. If you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're fine. You're going to be okay. You might have nothing to show for your life on the earth, or you might have a lot of treasure. The choices, the decisions you make now concerning the treasure that you will produce, that will be eternal treasure that you'll carry with you into eternity. Then the other judgment is the great white throne judgment, which that's not a good place to be. If you ever end up at the great white throne judgment, it's basically go to hell, go directly to hell, do not pass, begin, and do not collect $200. I mean, that's not a place where people get let off. That's a place where their whole life is laid before them, where they realize why they're going to spend eternity in hell, because God is a just God. Remember, this hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Somebody said, well, why does God send people to hell? Because they're wicked. And even if we went to hell right now and we preached the gospel and gave people an opportunity to come out of hell, they would still cuss us out. They would use the foulest of language and cuss us out in the midst of hell right now and tell us to get lost because their hearts are wicked. Are you with me? And that's why they have to be incarcerated forever. That's not God's plan. And so many people say, well, the Lord loves people. And so God's a loving God. He would never send anybody to hell. He's a loving God. That's why he sent Jesus to the cross, so that no one needed to go to hell if they would just believe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So what holds you back? Pride. Pride. Pride is where you think you're better than everybody else. Pride is a false estimation of oneself. I'm better than you. And then you always look down on people. Or roll your eyes, you know. You're in some public place and then the person's acting drunk. You go, can you believe that? Well, you were like that 10 years ago. What are you talking about? Can you believe that? They just don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I get into a place, people start cussing. I don't say, please, would you please change your language around me? I've heard it all. I've had preachers cuss me out. It wouldn't bother me. Somebody said, well, don't you tell them to change the language? No, because they don't know how to speak. If you said don't, they wouldn't be able to talk, because every third word is a cuss word. They don't know how to speak. They've been learning that from a baby. When they were 3 years old, they were cussing. So they don't know. They're going to have to learn a new language. Are you with me? You know, you help people struggle through their language barrier, and then one of these days they're going to talk properly when the Lord cleans out their mouth. But pride. Ask the Lord to allow you to see people the way he sees them.
That's good.
Ask the Lord to let you see people the way he sees them. Not where they are now. Over the years of ministry, the Lord has allowed me to look at people and see them finished. The finished work, and I'll just start treating them, even sinners. Like, I know, that guy's going to be mighty in God. So I just start treating him like he is that way already. People go, oh, you're crazy, man. How, you can't treat that guy. He's not even saved. I said, well, he will be. He just doesn't know it yet, you know. He doesn't know what he is. They have no clue what they are. Don't treat people with where they are right now. Treat them where they're going to be. I don't care where you are right now. Where you are right now is not where you stay.
Amen.
You're not hanging around, yeah, I'm going to stay that way anyway. No. You're going to have hands laid on you. Are you with me? Well, Brother Rondi, I just tell you, I just can't handle difficult people. Why? Because you're difficult? I just really get irritated with people. Oh, touchy, touchy. So the guy that has a lot of money, he thinks he's better than the people that don't have money. But there's actually no difference. People of one nationality look down on a person of another nationality because they think they're better. Are they stupid? No, you don't understand their language. You stupid. I would say that pride is the number one thing in many Christians' lives that hold them back from doing what God's called them to do. But see, we can pick on many other things, but pride is the number one thing where people have a false estimation of themselves, of who they actually think they actually are. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we will fail. That's it. Boy, it's getting very quiet here right now. Unforgiveness. Do you know how many Christians that you meet that walk around with unforgiveness in their life? And you won't really know that till you start picking on them. You know, you start digging a little bit. You know, they put on all the praise the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord's just so good. You say, tell me what happened 10 years ago. What, that thing? Oh, yeah, that guy, I'll tell you what, I just pray a bus hit him. You know, I mean, they'll go from, oh, the Lord is so good, isn't Jesus so wonderful, too. I just pray that may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest his armpits. I mean, they go from being nice to suddenly just like, tell you, I just pray God kill him. Unforgiveness is a terrible thing. Somebody said, well, how do I know I've forgiven? You know you're forgiven when people bring up what they did. You can't remember that they did it, and you think it must be misinformation. Surely they didn't do that. No, no. They couldn't have done that. It's impossible. Why? Because you forgave them. So as far as you're concerned, they didn't do it. You know, there have been many people over 23 years that have come through the church that have done all kinds of things, and they disappear for 5 years. They show back up, and they say to me, Pastor, we back. And I didn't know they'd left, but anyway, they say we back. And then, you know, I'll just treat them just like I always treat people. And some of my staff will say, Pastor, you remember what they did? I go, what? They did that? No, they didn't. Yeah, they did that, and they did this, and you know, because they're trying to tell me they stole this money from one of the other congregation members. They did, and I said, not that person. They're nice people. Yeah, but they did that. But I don't remember any of that stuff. I don't walk around with a book. That's why if you meet me somewhere, don't bring up what you've been doing, because I don't know about it. I'm not interested in it. I'm just here, your pastor, to preach the word of God. I don't come out here. When I'm preaching, a lot of times people say, oh, he knows about it. I do not know. I don't know what you did last week. I don't know what you did last summer. But I know what Jesus has done. I'm not here preaching from information that I've collected over the week. So somebody said, yeah, but you're hitting me right over there. That must be the Lord, because I have not been briefed beforehand. Somebody said, he knows. I don't. Somebody said, he's got me on his mind. I don't. I didn't even know. I'm just here doing my job. So unforgiveness, you know you've got rid of it when those people appear before you or the thought of them, and there's no animosity, there's no anger, it's nothing, you know. And you just say, you know, hey, yeah, that happened, but I forgave him. I released him. Amen. I don't want them to pay for it. I don't want them to pay for it. I don't pray any harm to them. I'm not praying a bus hits them. That's why if you want to find about, you know, some of the people that you've had unforgiveness to, write their names down and then start praying for them every day. And then watch what happens. Say, Father, I just lift up this person. Now, Lord, you remember how mean they were to me. Remember what they did, Lord? They did this, that. But right now, I choose to forgive them. And I forgive them, and I ask you to release them. And, Father, just bless them. Come into their life and bless them beyond measure and turn their whole life around. And I forgive them today. And then go to the next person. However, maybe you've got a whole book of people. And just begin to forgive. Just begin to forgive. Just start forgiving. Just forgive. Come on. You talk about being released. Folks, let me tell you. You talk about being released. Just begin to forgive. I forgive that person. Well, Pastor, they stole this from me. Just forgive them. Just say, you know what, I'll call them up, say, listen, I give that to you. You can't steal from me, I give it to you. Because if I sow it as seed, I'm going to get a harvest anyway. You know, if the thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold. But if I give it, I get 100-fold. So I'd rather just give it instead of having it stolen. Are you with me? Come on. And don't hold anything against anybody. Everybody say forgiveness. There's some husband needs to forgive their wife here today. There's a wife needing to forgive the husband. There's some parents need to forgive their children. There's some children need to forgive their parents. Because that's a weight. That's a weight that'll hold you back. And we want to get rid of all those weights. Bitterness. Bitterness is basically when unforgiveness is set in. And then basically whenever people open their mouth, the only stuff that comes out is bitter. There's no sweet water. It's just bitter. Angry, resentful, mean, bitter. Is this helping anybody here today? Come on. Yeah. And then anger. Anger is a, as I said, there's a good angry and there's a bad angry. But when you're always angry, there's a problem. When you're always grumpy, mad, angry. Kids grow up in a house where the dad's always angry. And the wife is always running around trying to make everybody happy because dad's angry. There's some woman going to get to heaven, they're going to get medals for the nonsense they've had to deal with the husband out of control. Just angry the whole time, always angry, mad at everything. And then people, when they get older, they become grumpy old people. There's nothing worse than a grumpy old cranky individual. How does someone get to become a grumpy, cranky, old individual? By becoming a grumpy, cranky, young individual. They asked the guy, I said, did you wake up grumpy this morning? He said, no, I let her sleep for another half an hour. A bad joke, but fortunately that's not my wife. Amen. But I mean, you have to change your attitude. Are there going to be things that you can be angry about? Huh? I'm talking to you now. Are there things, don't sit there look like an angel with halo on or whatever. Are there going to be things that are going to come to you on a daily basis that you can be angry about? Who thinks it might be something you can get angry about today? Tomorrow. What about tomorrow? On a highway, you drive the I-4. Anybody driven the I-4? There's a couple of things you can get angry about. Especially when somebody is signaling you and they're not telling you that you're number one. Come on, say this on me. No pride, no unforgiveness, no bitterness, no anger, and then lust. Now, every time, the moment you mention lust, everybody thinks to do with a man and a woman or a woman and man or whatever, and there's that angle of it. But lust is when there's a pressure to do. There's people that lust after money or possessions or fame or fortune, and it takes a hold of their life. It's something that actually controls them. I know there's people that lusting after something. They want that thing so badly. It is natural for a man to be attracted to a woman. Natural, that's natural. Or for a woman to be attracted to a man. That's natural. It's not natural to be attracted to a dog. No, I have to reiterate these things because of the times that we are living in. Are you with me? Whichever way you want to look at it, it is not natural to be attracted to someone of the same sex. That's not natural. That's not the way things naturally work. Somebody said, why are people attracted that way? Because the enemy got in and fouled everything up, which is what he does. So you're attracted to a young lady, you, as a man, go after that young lady because that's what you are. You are a hunter. And that's what I did when I saw my wife. I hunted her down and found her. And we just celebrated 38 years of marriage, you know. Amen. But it is not natural once you have found the one that you love and the one you married to be still hunting somebody else. That is called lust. Are you with me? And that's the problem with Hollywood and the movies, and everything is so bad. It is so bad. Everything's involving lust and just lusting after anything. Fame and fortune and money and American Idol, and everybody's looking for their name and in lights and going to get to this place or whatever. And that's how Hollywood puts that out the whole time. But if you go look at Hollywood, at the actual lives, it's total devastation. The stuff that they pump out. That's why you have to be careful what you spend your time looking at, or the time what you listen to, the songs that are filthy, just filthy. Nothing good coming out of that music, because it's always about somebody else's wife. Hello. Come on. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm going to say this right now. You spend time listening to the wrong kind of music, you'll open your door up to lust. The same with television. You watch the wrong kind of movies, you're going to open yourself up to lust. Getting very quiet now. So what holds you back? Come on, let's get rid of it today. Gossip. Some people, that's all they do. That's all they do is talk about other people. Blah, 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 blah. They know everything about everybody. There's certain people today in America, if I want to find out what's going on, I can make one phone call. They know everything about anybody. And I call them because I know they it's like they're a vacuum cleaner to pick up. If I hear something happen, I call them to find it, to verify, is it true? They always know before anybody else knows. There's some people that all they do is search the internet to find out what's happening to somebody, so they're in the know. And then they text me all the information of the latest happenings. Gossip. Your life can't go anywhere when all you do is spend your life talking about somebody else. You rather want to be the discussion of somebody else's talk, talking about you and what you're doing, than you sit around talking about other people. You know, and sometimes you just have to say, look, I don't want to hear this. Just like, I'm leaving this conversation right now. I get around preachers, they start talking. I say, you know, I'm extracting myself out of this right now. I actually don't want to hear another word. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear it. Not interested. Don't want to hear it. La 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 la. Not interested. Don't want to hear it. Because all of that over the years has never helped anybody. It never helped me when I sat in the early days and listened to gossip. When I left Southern Africa, I mean, we hung around ministers. That's all they did was sit around and carve other ministers up and talk about other ministers the whole time. And we, as a young man, you know, 23, 24, 25 in the ministry, you sit there and you leave feeling dirty, man. Feel terrible. Well, I come over to America, revival broke out, and I was in like this cocoon and whatever. And I got back and I sat down at the table. They started bringing up, and out of my mouth said, I actually don't want to hear about this. I don't want to hear anything. Well, somebody needs to say something. I said, not me. I want to talk about the goodness of God and what God's doing and how he brought us out. And then I left that meal realizing where I used to be. And then I was so thankful that God brought me out of that, that I don't even need to spend my time talking about any of that stuff. I don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear about other people's sins. I don't want to hear all about their mess and whatever. If anything, we're going to stop the conversation. We're going to pray for them right now. Father, we're going to pray that you're going to bring them out. Come on. Get rid of gossip. Get it far from you. Amen. The way some of you are acting, you think I'm picking on you. And then, of course, covetousness and greed, addictions, drugs, alcohol, even food. You know, Christians get delivered from drugs and alcohol and then become addicted to food. I just don't do well till I've had pizza by 10 o'clock in the morning. My God. Did you know that overeating is actually a sin? Do you realize that? So when you stuff yourself, to where you say, oh my God, I can't hardly even walk, basically. Okay. Change the subject now. There's only so much your body can digest. And when it can't digest, it takes it into storage. That's why some people have big storage supplies. And don't look at me. Some of you skinny ones, you eat more than the fat people. So don't even come talk about that. I'm not, because everybody thinks I'm just picking on overweight people. I'm not. I used to be way overweight. The Lord helped me lose the weight. But let me tell you, they're skinny people. They eat more than some people, like a vacuum cleaner. I mean, I was with somebody who said, you need to eat 5 meals a day. I said, 5 meals a day? I said, I'm busy. How do I eat 5 meals? You need to. Your body needs food all the time. You're going to eat 5 meals a day. Their whole life is around food. Their morning to night is around food. I can't live like that. I'm going to eat when I can eat. I can't sit around thinking about a meal. Excuse me, I just need to go outside and grab somebody to go eat. Whatever. Bro. To me, I don't care what you say, talk about speed up your metabolism, whatever. Mine's going to slow right down. In extra fact, come to a total stop. Because I'm just not going to, I can't sit and take my whole life around eating food for 5-6 meals a day. I can't. I pray you get stuck in a desert for days. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, let's move away from food. I know we're coming into Christmas season now, but don't let anybody lie to you. You're not going to die if you don't eat the cake. Even one slice, you won't die. Eat the cookie. Let me wrap this up. As we're closing out 2019, it's time to lay aside the weight. You determine what that is. You know what you're dealing with more than anybody else. And if you don't know, ask your wife. She can help you. Or ask your closest friend. They will tell you what the problem is. No problem. Amen. Sit and fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Everything else will pass away. And purpose every day to lay up treasure in heaven. What's going to count 100 years from today? 1 Corinthians 9:24, Kenneth S. Weiss translation of the Bible says, "Do you not know that those who are running a race are indeed all running, but one receives the victor's award? Be running in such a manner as the one who won the race, in order that you may obtain the victor's award. Everyone who participates in athletic games exercises constraint and self-control in all things. Those, to be sure, in order to receive a perishable victor's garland of wild olive leaves to be worn as a crown of victory. But as for us, we engage in Christian service, exercising constant self-control to obtain a victor's garland which is imperishable." So, could we do anything we want to? Somebody said, well, we're under grace, we can do whatever. You can do whatever. But whether you're going to receive the crown, that's the next question. You know, somebody said, well, I'm not in the ministry, therefore I'm not held to that kind of... Forget about ministry. Well, people think it's got to do with the ministry. Well, I'm not in the ministry, therefore, you know, the Lord is... I have kind of leeway to kind of... You know, kind of do what, he's a minister. They should be doing that over there, but I'm not in the ministry. Therefore, I'm going to kill this guy right now. Whatever. No. I mean, it doesn't matter, ministry or no ministry. It's got nothing to do with it. It's just Christian and non-Christian. Christian running a race, you know, doing what is right in the eyes of God, making sure that you're going to exercise self-control or restraint. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes, in self-control. So you hold yourself back where you were going to be angry, you were going to react, but you actually control your tongue and you bite your tongue and you hold yourself back. Later on, you think of all the things you could have said. And then you get angry because you never said them. But you actually had self-restraint. You held yourself back. Are you with me? You say, why, Pastor? For the joy that's set before you. Because the day will come when you'll hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The joy. I can't wait for that day. Can you imagine that day? We will all stand before him and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine you're going to hear those words from Jesus? Can you imagine? Second Timothy 4 and verse 7. "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not only to me, but unto all those who love his appearing." Jesus is coming very, very soon. And he has his reward with him that he's going to give to every single one of you that love him. So we're living not for the now, we're living for eternity. We're not living for a home on some street corner, which you could have, but it'll come and go. Somebody else will take it over when you've exited this life. It'll be sold. Some things will be sold on auction. Are you with me? Whatever you have today, it doesn't mean to say it's going to stay with you. Everything will leave you. Even the facelift will leave you. Even the tattoo is not going to go with you. Because things change over the year. That tattoo you got years ago of the deer that now looks like a giraffe. Things change. Somebody said, that's a great giraffe. It's not a giraffe. It's a deer. First Corinthians 3 and verse 8, the second part. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Colossians 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. So whatever I'm doing for the kingdom, I'm not doing unto man, I'm doing unto the Lord. Therefore, I'm not going to become resentful. I'm not going to become upset. Well, people are not recognizing what I do. I don't get enough thanks. I'm already getting what the Lord has for me. I'm doing it unto Him. I'm not looking for man to reward me. I'm not looking for man to be kind to me. I'm not looking for man to open the door for me. I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm serving Him. I'm keeping my eyes on Him. It doesn't matter who tries to stop me. They're not going to be able to stop me. No one can stop me. If I'm not supposed to be somewhere, I don't need to try to make myself go there. I don't have to try to pull strings to get there. I just keep my eyes on Jesus. Wherever He wants me to go, I'm going to go. I'm going to find myself in places that I never even thought that I would find myself in, because I keep my eyes on Him, and He leads and He guides me, and He feeds me, and He provides for me, and He makes a way for me where there is no way, and He furnishes a table in the wilderness, and He takes me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He is with me. His rod and staff comfort me, and He guides me. I have nothing to lose, because if you lose your life, you'll find it. So no one can steal anything from you. No one can take anything from you. No one. No one can take anything from you. And if God's given it to you, there ain't nobody going to take it from you. Amen. Well, they're going to steal this from me, and I need to get what's mine, and I need to get what. Please. You want it, you can have it all. You know what? You can have it all. I don't want anything. Not looking for anything. Amen. Knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye that serve the Lord. So what's so phenomenal, let me close with this, is whatever we do for the kingdom will never be lost. And that's why you're going to hear Jesus Himself is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Everybody that's serving in every capacity of ministry, whether you full-time in the ministry or ministry of helps, whatever you find yourself in, whatever you're doing for the kingdom, whatever act of kindness and generosity and extra hours and service that you've done behind the scenes where you maybe were looking for somebody to praise you and thank you for what you were doing, but you just said, I'm doing this for the Lord. God is the one that's going to reward you on that day. And He will reward you this side of heaven. God is no man's debtor. In other words, you're not going to get to heaven and say, you know, I lived my life for you and I had a pretty bad life. I'll tell you what right now. You'll never look at the Lord and say, you know what, I served you with everything I had and you gave me nothing. When you see Him on that day, you're going to say, you know, you were too kind to me. You overdid it to me. You really did. You did. I didn't deserve anything of what you did. I feel that way. You know, a lot of ministers, I know they feel eligible for everything. I feel like I'm eligible for nothing, you know. And I'm actually surprised at what the Lord has done over the years. I don't actually go around thinking that I'm anything. That's why it's very funny when people ask you, who do you think you are? I actually don't think I'm anything. So when they think that I think that I'm something, they're actually thinking wrong, because I actually don't think anything. I mean, that's a fact. I'm not making that up. That's a fact. I don't walk around. I know who He is. And I know the assignment, and I know what He's told me to do, and that's all I'm interested in. But I don't walk around thinking I'm something or that I should be. If anybody should be doing it, it should be me. No, I only want to do what He wants me to do. Are you with me? God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That way you can love everybody because you're not expecting anything from them. You don't walk around. I tell you, that guy still owes me. I tell you, those people, they stole that from me. They still owe me. You're not looking for anything from anybody. You're just looking to be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. If everybody just bow your heads right now, please. It's time today to lay aside whatever that weight is. And maybe you need to go home and deal with yourself, you know. This might be a whole week of assessing what that is. It's not like something come to the altar quickly and we'll wave a hand over you and then everything's fine. I wish it was that way, but it's not that way. You have to let God work in your heart and deal with you in your heart. But by the hand of God will come and God will supernaturally remove those things from your life. If you surrender to Him today and say, Lord, I humble myself for the joy that is set before you. For the joy that is set before you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you've come into this place and you fit into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you walked in here today, you've never ever given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior. That's the first step, to acknowledge Him, to allow Him to come and have His way and do His work in you. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. Everything we do in correction of our life is made this side of heaven, not this side of eternity, not the other side. There are extreme cases where the Lord has allowed people, and that's only the grace of God that the Lord says, your work's not done, go back, and you're going to make this right and whatever. And I don't know why God does that with some people and doesn't do it with other people, but that's just the way it works. But I sure don't want to play the risk to be one that doesn't work with. So you humble yourself. Only the humble can receive. The arrogant cannot receive one thing I'm talking about here today, because the arrogant want to do it themselves. The humble can receive. Will you let Jesus come and do His work in you? Will you humble yourself? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior? I surrender every area of my life to you today. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? You went home and put your head on your pillow. I use that as an example because I don't want to say you leave here and get hit by a bus. But I'd just rather say go home, put your head on your pillow and you don't wake up. In other words, life is so short. Where will you go? Where will you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And today you can be free. You can't earn this. You can't buy it. It's free. You just have to humble yourself to receive it and say, Jesus, come. He will come and do a work in you. Secondly, maybe you're in this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. But today you say, I want to come back. I want to come back. Maybe it's these hidden things that we talked about. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things. Today is the day to have them removed. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put it in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you let Him come and do that? Maybe it's outward. Maybe that thing is something that everyone could see. And so the enemy uses against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. The devil's a liar and God's a God of a second chance. God's a God of a new beginning today. If you'll say, yes, Lord, I surrender my life afresh to you. Will you surrender to Him? Will you say, Jesus, come? Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we describe. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. You're stuck in a place. I meet preachers, man, of big churches. They say, man, this thing hit me 5 years ago. I had my wife left. I didn't even know she was going to leave. I didn't even know she wanted the divorce. It was so sudden. Said, God's blessed the church. The ministry's growing. But I don't even know. I pray, but it's not like I used to. I read the Bible. It's not like I used to. I don't even know how to get back. I was just with a pastor and his wife, and their 21-year-old son killed himself. They said if it wasn't for the fact that God was blessing the church, said we would have left the ministry. Said we actually thought about leaving the ministry, but the church is just growing and God's blessing the ministry, so we just stayed. But if it wasn't for that fact, we'd leave the ministry. So storms come to everybody. The storms of life come. The winds of adversity blow. But today you say, I'm coming back to the Lord. I'm coming back in full surrender to Him today. Because remember, when God looks at people's hearts, He looks at their temperature. He looks at their temperature. What's your temperature today? It's either hot, lukewarm, or cold. And I tell you, I just feel this by the Spirit of God, even in this month of December, that people are going to get rid of some of the weights that have been holding you back in 2019 and 2020. You're not going to have any of these weights. They will not hold you back from accomplishing heaven's purpose and plan for your life. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. You love Him with all your heart, but you're not sure. You don't have the assurance in your heart that you're a child of God. In other words, if I looked you in the eye and said, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God and that if you died right now, you're going to go be with Jesus, you say, Pastor, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. Well, then I'm going to give you an opportunity to make sure today. If you fit into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, quickly, put your hand up and say, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you over here. God bless you over there. 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 God bless you over here. God bless you over here. God bless you over there. God bless you over there. God bless you. God bless you over there. God bless you. God bless you over there. God bless you under the overhang, right at the back, right at the very back. God bless you. God bless you over there. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Bless you. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. Today, all it takes is that decision. I want everybody to look at me right now, please, if you would. If you're in this section, you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now. Quickly, put your hand up and say, include me. Include me. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Anybody else? Right over here. God bless you. Anybody else? Right back there. I see your hand already. Under the overhang, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Slip your hand up right now. Right back there. Another hand over here. Anybody else? This section here. God bless you. I was 5 years old. How old are you? She's five. I was five when I raised my hand. So she's got her hand raised. Anybody else who you want to be included, put your hand up right now. Say, include me. Put it up high and say, yes, that's me. Raise up high and say, yes, right at the back there. Anybody else? Raise up high. Yes, another hand there. Anybody else? Just raise up high and say, yes, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. I want every person that raised your hand to stand right now. Stand all across the building. Everyone that raised your hand. Every person that raised your hand, everyone that raised your hand, stand right now. Stand up on your feet right now. Today's your day of freedom. Today's your day of liberty. I'm going to ask you to bring your personal belongings and come from where you are. Come. We're going to pray together. Come. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Come. Come. Today's your day. Today's your day of freedom. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided put him right in the middle, guys. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You could take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Come on, tell him that now. Come on, just tell him that right now. You can have it. You can have it. You can have it all. You can take the whole world. Turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back. Hallelujah. What happened to my two rowdy congregation members? You had to take them out? What did they think this was, a WWE World Wrestling Federation? You had to remove two of my congregation members. I want everybody standing here to look at me, if you would please. We're going to pray one simple prayer. If you mean business with God today, God means business with you. Regardless of where you come from or the circumstances of your life, because you can't earn this, you can't buy it, you can't even go to a place to get educated to even receive it. You just have to humble yourself and take it. So it's free today. You get everything you've come to receive by humility and say, Lord, I come by faith today to receive this. I don't earn it, I don't deserve it, but I'm coming to get it anyway. And we're going to pray one prayer. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart. Say with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your words, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me, fill me, use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him right now. Father, I pray that you would come and you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit. That on that day when we stand before you, let not one be missing. Let not one person standing here be missing on that day. raised them up to be mighty men and women of God and used them to impact this generation. I bind every attack of the enemy over their life. I break every curse. I send it back to where it came from. Every spirit of witchcraft, I break it off of you. Every addiction, every bondage of hell, I break off every weight that has held you back. In 2019, it shall hold you back no more. From this day, you shall run the race freely. Father, I thank you for it. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus that washes everyone clean right now. That's what's happening right now. You're getting washed in the blood of Jesus right now. You're being made clean right now by the blood of Jesus right now. You're being cleansed right now by the blood of Jesus right now. And you're forgiven right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, fill them all with the Holy Ghost. Put a holy boldness on them that they're going to tell everybody they meet what you have done for them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.